Do you know what's worse than finishing a jigsaw puzzle with the last piece missing?
No.
Finding a bit of Lego in your insides that you didn't know was there.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound all that thrilling to me. What do you get for the person who has everything?
Ah, okay, good question.
Chocolate-covered town.
What?
More on that coming up. On The Source, Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
The weird and wacky week that was. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
You know that expression, dress for the job you want,
mm-hmm.
not the job you have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, strap yourself into your trackies and your best-stained hoodie because Menu Log is coming through with your dream gig.
I love Menu Log. Did I tell our listeners that my Snoop Dogg crook from Crook to Cookbook eventually turned up?
No, I don't think you did.
6 months later.
Mm.
And he's a spokesman for Menu Log at the moment,
the dog. Oh, he is too, isn't he?
I love Menu Log.
I just was reading this story and it said put on your favourite stained hoodie. In your case, it'd be your feeler joggers, as you like to call them.
My favourite stained feeler joggers.
Mm, we talked about that last week.
I love stained.
Menu Log, the fast food delivery service, is once again launching its annual Menu Log Restaurant Awards, or Loggies, as
love it.
They might like to be called. But this year, of course, with everything else going on, there's a twist. For the first time, there's going to be a extra interesting kind of twist to this one.
I love the dramatic pause.
Thank you very much. It's a reclined seat at the judge's table for Australia's armchair food critic. Why do I think that you're already thinking you could do this?
I could do it so easily.
The lucky judge will get to stay on their own sofa while an array of delicious local takeaway is delivered right to their door every single freaking day for 2 weeks.
I'm pretty good at sitting on the sofa. That fatty boombar that sits there watching Australian or American Ninja Warrior saying, I can do all that.
Yeah,
I can do that
and
so easy.
Nailed it, that cake
nailed
show.
Nailed it.
Mm. Oh, you love that show, don't you?
Great show.
The lucky judge will get to put their feet up on your own sofa while the food just, comes to your door.
Just keeps rolling through.
Yeah, there's no catch. You just eat the food and document your experience with the likes of salt levels, sauce application, spice intensity, and plenty more, whatever you'd like.
I could do that.
I bet you could too.
So in.
I reckon I could do it too, just saying. All those years of watching, here you go, all those years of watching but not really watching MasterChef are going to pay off.
Great.
You and
how do we apply?
Well, I'll tell you how you can apply. Don't you worry about that.
I'm just keen to go.
I know you are. I know. The only skills required are that you'll need to be a very experienced eater. Yeah? Tick. Who is willing to tackle
been doing it for years.
All snack and meal times. So intermittent fasters need not apply.
Okay, you're a good idea.
Keep an open mind, you'll need one, and your open mouth when it comes to trialing cuisines and dishes. This sounds so good.
Get in my belly!
You also shouldn't be afraid to share your opinions. Oh, wow, that's you.
Well, that's you. So you are. And now you've just jumped the queue in front of me now.
Both online and in real life. Mm. Okay, I'm more of a real life person, not an online. I don't want the trail behind me.
No.
So you'll finally have an excuse for all of those food porn pictures on your dinners that you keep uploading to Instagram. All right, that's both of us. Let's be real.
Yeah. We're that person.
Yeah, we are that person. If you do get selected as Australia's armchair food critic, you will win 12 months free Menu Log delivered to your door. Of course, the bragging rights as well of being officially crowned the critic. To apply, now I've got your attention.
I'm going to write down the date because we tend to roll these things out and the date's already passed or about to drop.
Yeah, well, you need to submit a 30-second video of your best restaurant and meal review at Menu Log, and entries are open now and close on September 4th. So you've still got time. It gives you plenty of time to buy more pants with elasticized waistbands.
Great. I love that. September 4th, we're going to have a 30-second video in and we just got to review something for Menu Log.
That's good. All you got to do.
What do you get for 12 months worth of Menu Log deliveries? Anything? Anything that's on menu lock.
I would imagine you'll get some type of discount code that just, you know, you just keep eating.
Does Byron Bay peanut butter deliver on via menu lock?
Not to Melbourne, I don't think. Oh. Not via menu lock.
Come on, guys.
But in the post, yeah, absolutely. Post.
Speaking of that, we're getting a bit low on supplies. Our very good friends at Byron Bay peanut butter.
Yes, we are.
Well, we're in on that one. I love menu lock. I love it. It's a great concept. You know, years ago in a past life of mine, I worked at Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
And I was a sales guy at Yellow Pages, and that's when menu logs started to really roll through, because we would make suggestions to a restaurant to say, if you are part of menu log, stick the little menu log logo, because menu log wanted their brand stuck in as much as possible. And that's when Yellow Pages was the place to advertise, and we were putting little menu log logos into their ads because they could order via that way. But none of us really knew what it was.
So just to give them an extra plug, I want to know how good their advertising is. What's their slogan?
Mean somebody say menu log.
All right.
I'm a great singer.
Sorry about those who's
spent seconds in the studio for that one.
Ears just cracked.
Transparent public toilets. They're a thing right now.
They're what?
They're a thing.
Yeah.
They light up like a beautiful lantern. Oh. And they've been installed in Tokyo. They're crazy over there. The Tokyonians. Is that how you say it? Or are they just Japanese?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Tokyonians.
Yeah, okay.
That's a Dazzerism for our listeners out there. The see-through loos have opened in two parks in a commercial part of the Japanese capital, which is renowned for its shopping facilities and quality of nightlife.
Okay.
So if you've got a quality of nightlife and you're a designer in that area or an architect, as we say in the biz, the first thing you think of, how do we spruce up the nightlife? We just put some see-through loos in.
Look, there's nothing better than having a good night out in a toilet.
Do you find that if you go into a hotel somewhere, like a resort, or in like those sort of resorts are out in the wilderness and they've got those open showers when people can see in, but no one can really see you because you've just got bushland around you, you kind of feel like you're one with nature then?
Look, I can't tell you the last time I was one with nature or in a bushland setting. So I don't.
Do you ever walk around naked in your home?
No. No, because I have
it's very refreshing.
Another human that lives there.
But if he wasn't there, would you do that?
That's my son.
It's very refreshing.
If he wasn't living with me, probably yes.
It is. It is quite something.
Yeah.
Anyway, the toilets use coloured smart glass, which turns opaque when they're occupied.
I just want to know when this turned into a naked conversation, but no.
Well, because you're sitting on the loo half naked and potentially you're thinking people can see you.
Sorry, I didn't have the opportunity to ask you. Do you get yourself around in starkers? It's too cold.
And then there's nothing better than just leaving the drapes open potentially a little bit, wandering around a little bit.
Oh, wow.
In full commando.
Very sure of yourself.
The glass technology has been used so people can identify whether the toilet is clean and if anyone is currently inside, which is kind of smart.
Right.
And that means that they have to keep them spotless.
Okay.
So you can actually have, you know, that perception you get when you go to a public toilet, even though you might really need to go, you think, you know what, I'm just going to take the risk.
It's the kangaroo pose, ladies. We all know it.
What's the kangaroo pose? I want to Google that one. I've got a feeling I know what it might be. Users have already said how once inside the toilet, they can't tell if the glass is opaque or not, giving them the strange feeling they're on display.
Oh, gross.
Now, if you're on display having a shower, a very sensual shower, versus sitting on the loo, kind of a couple of different things, aren't they, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look on your face now, our listeners can see that. A number of leading designers helped to create the restrooms as part of the Tokyo Toilet Project to change people's dark, dirty, smelly and scary perceptions of public loos. We've all got that. That's all around the world.
Good one, Tokorians.
Tokorians. That's right. It's a Dazzerism, not a Cindyism. Award-winning architect Shigeru Ban was part of the work and in a statement on the project's website said, there are two things that we worry about when entering a public restroom, especially those located at a park. So it's all very much about the dark, dirty, smelly and scary perceptions we have of public loos, and rightfully so.
Sorry, I missed that. What did he say?
There are two things that we worry about when entering a public restroom, especially those located at a park.
Is he half Italian?
That wasn't anywhere near Italian. You try it. Do you want to go for it?
No.
Deep down Sri Lanka in Tokyo. There you go. I mean, if you get a chance, go and Google that, because they actually look quite pretty the way that they've actually been designed. And it's actually quite smart, but it would be like it would take you a little bit of guts, I think, to sit in there and just sit down and hope that nobody can see him. But you'd know that nobody can.
It's just that that mind game that's going to play along with you.
I saw picturing you walking around naked in your home. Yeah, what do you got? What do you got coming up?
I'm sorry for that vision. Oh, lockdown is a very, very interesting time. Plenty of people doing jigsaw puzzles. I don't want to talk about them. I'm all about Lego this morning. Have you ever lost a piece of Lego? The last one of your
I've lost Lego before.
Masterpiece.
Not where you're thinking.
Oh, yeah, see? Exactly right, yeah.
And there is a Swiss town that has been coated in cocoa after a factory glitch. We'll tell you more about that. Cindy and Daz on the source, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Sting around.
Hi, I'm Anna Mears. I don't just ride bikes, I drive a car as well, so I know there's a lot to look out for on the road. Most crashes involving bikes occur because the driver didn't look for the rider. You can help prevent this by always checking for riders at intersections, when changing lanes, turning, or pulling into traffic. So share the road. A second glance could prevent a crash. Get more of my riding tips at mac.sa.gov.au. Brought to you by the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz.
Lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
2.0.
It's a statement. That's a very bold statement.
I tried to call it lockdown. I've forgotten, but it didn't take off. I thought it was going to go viral.
No, I think lockdown 2.0 has been the
2.0.
It's been the catchphrase.
What did I call it? I called it something else. So much so that one can remember.
It's been forgotten already.
Yeah, I know, right? Jigsaw puzzles, Lego, all the things that we like to do to keep us busy because we can't get outside and do all those things down here in Melbourne.
Do girls get Lego as kids? Or is it just a boy thing?
Yeah, I think they do. Look, I think personally, I grew up with a sister, not a brother. So I think if sisters grow up with brothers that there's Lego in the house. But I don't see why you can't, because it's girly Lego.
Not much.
Isn't there?
You're mainly building buildings and cars and trains and spaceships. Explosion stuff. And yeah, so it's more of a guy thing. I think chicks do their dolls still.
Yeah, had this enormous big, like it was like a spaceship or something. It was, oh God, it took him so long to make. But that was good because he was not in front of a screen.
Good. And did he lose any pieces?
I don't recall that he did.
Mm.
I do know that it was stuck in the top of the cupboard, like in one piece for a long time, and no one was allowed to touch it.
That's a wonderful leg up to your story.
It sure is.
What a lead in that was.
Absolutely. In New Zealand, a missing Lego piece has finally been found after it went missing 2 years ago.
Why would it be a concern? Like, if you've just got a piece of Lego when you've got 10,000 pieces, because you know what happens with Lego? You actually buy the little kit.
Right.
You buy the little pack. So you want to build a spaceship, you get the box, and everything that you need to build that spaceship is in that box. And then you'll also get one to build a farm and one to build a car and one to build a train. And eventually all those pieces, they don't go back in that box.
Yeah, you're
right. They all just go back in a big tub. So you've got 10,000 pieces of Lego that you just got to go and find the pieces to build it, and it never builds the same because all of a sudden everything's mixed together. So what difference would it matter if one piece is missing? Tell me more.
Well, it seems to have fallen out of 7-year-old Samir Anwar's nose.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago, he apparently shoved it up there.
As you do.
Because you know why? He probably finished his Lego and went, nah, this piece doesn't fit. Where can I stick it? Mum's about to come in. I don't want her to find one piece because she'll sit here and make me make it fit. So I'll just shove it up my nose. Yeah.
She'll step on it as mums do.
Exactly. His parents became alarmed when their son told them he'd lost a piece of Lego up his nose back then and he couldn't find it. However, doctors could not locate the piece and advised him that it would eventually move through his digestive system and
just let the body do its work.
Pop it out sometime. With Samir showing no signs of pain or distress, his parents soon forgot about the ordeal.
As you would.
Something else came along.
It's moved along.
Well, so they thought.
Well, they thought that.
Last week, the boy's nose began to hurt after he took a big sniff of some cupcakes.
Wow. That's sound effects for you right there. Welcome to Snotty Sunday, Cindy. Boy, oh boy.
Thinking he'd sniffed up some cake crumbs, his mother helped him blow his nose when dropped out a tiny piece of black Lego covered in fungus. Samir suddenly explained, Mum, I found the Lego. You were telling me it wasn't there, but it was. The piece of Lego has been wrapped in a tissue and the family is still deciding what they're going to do with it. What would you do with that piece of Lego?
Well, I think it would have to just go in the bin.
Well, Yeah.
Covered in fungus.
In like, a jar and maybe save it? Like,
or what?
You chuck it all over the internet, though. I mean, clearly, it's a story.
Being covered here on The Source, Southeast Melbourne, story. If you don't mind.
Have you got a photo of that as well?
There's no photo. Well, there might be. I haven't got one personally, but any of the stories we find on the weird and wacky web, you can go and find yourself. This is all about the weird and wacky stories, if you don't mind.
It is. I don't know if I actually want to see a piece of Lego that's been shoved up some kid's nose for 2 years covered in fungus.
There would be a very good chance that Mum would have taken a photo of that.
Yeah, I reckon.
I don't want to see it either.
Good on your kid.
2 years up the nose.
His Lego pieces together now, that piece that was missing.
Probably kept it there and just couldn't complete it. Couldn't put the little flashing light on top of the police car. Now he's got it.
Full stop now.
Oh, boy. Apologies you're having your breakfast this morning. A resident of a Swiss town got a bit of a shock last week when it started snowing particles of a fine cocoa powder after the ventilation system at a chocolate factory malfunctioned. Could be worse.
Okay.
What's going on outside, Mum? Just a bit of cocoa. Kids, that's all it is. Go back to playing Lego. The Lindt company confirmed local reports Tuesday that there was a minor defect in the cooling ventilation for a line for roasted cocoa nibs in its factory in Olten near Zurich.
Okay.
Or Zurich, depending where you live, I guess. Okay. The nibs, which are fragments of crushed cocoa beans, are the basis of chocolate.
Oh my.
Have you ever heard of cocoa nibs?
No.
I had neither. Cocoa nibs, they're the basis of chocolate. There you go.
Good.
Combined with strong winds on Friday morning, the powder spread around the immediate vicinity of the factory, leaving a fine cocoa dusting.
I just feel like I stand outside with my tongue out. Yeah.
You probably could do. It tastes pretty good. It would taste wonderful, some people might say.
Okay.
Now, when things are in the immediate vicinity, you know it's serious.
Oh, like, yeah.
How many stories do you ever read that when they talk about the vicinity?
Yes.
It's pretty serious.
It's very serious.
The company says one car was lightly coated and that it has offered to pay for any cleaning needed, but hasn't yet been taken up on any of the offers for that.
Get your dog outside to lick it.
Maybe your dog, Louie, would be all over that, wouldn't he? Could he possibly get any bigger than what he already is?
Can you stop picking on my dog? We do not weight shame on this show.
Older. Factory production was able to continue as normal as the company says the particles were completely harmless to people or the environment. The ventilation system has now been repaired. The chalk-coated car is now up on eBay for sale.
Oh.
No, it's not really. I just added that in there because that would be, I thought it would be a lovely little ending to the story.
Salivating.
How would you be, though, if you're looking out the window and all of a sudden comes powdering down around in the vicinity of your home?
Of nibs or something. Is that what they were called?
Cocoa nibs.
Nibs.
That's getting something for the person that's got everything. Yeah. A Swiss town covered in cocoa.
Just bring your car over and I'll decorate it for you for your birthday. Just chuck a candle on and you're right to go.
I'd like to say there was no fungus surrounding the cocoa nibs either, unlike your story.
I would like to think not.
Hey, coming up very soon, there's a list that has been published based on a 1958 women's magazine about 129 ways to get a man.
Okay.
We're going to go through some of those very shortly.
All right. And I want to talk to you. I want to try and link this together. Fungus, mold, cheese. Let's talk cheese.
Well, you've done fungus before. Let's do cheese. The Source with Cindy and Daz. Thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Stick around. It's
all for you. Hi, this is Jimmy Barnes for RAD, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. When I'm on tour, I love seeing fans having a great time at the gig. And because I sometimes play pubs and clubs, that great time usually involves a lot of drinks. What I hate to see is one of my fans try to drive home after they've been drinking. So before you go to a gig, plan ahead. Share a taxi or arrange a designated driver who won't drink. You'll make the road a lot safer for all of us.
The Source with Cindy and Daz, all the weird and wacky stuff you might have missed this week.
If you've spent lockdown dreaming of weekends of cheese, then we may have discovered the ultimate way for you to celebrate your newfound freedom once lockdown is over.
I love cheese.
If you live in London.
That's okay.
Yeah?
Close enough. We can do virtual London and virtual cheese.
I'm not getting anywhere near London.
I love London.
The London Cheese Crawl is taking a leaf out of the traditional bar crawl, which is kind of smart, isn't it?
It's a great idea.
It's taking people on a journey across central London, stopping off at some of the world's finest cheese suppliers. All you need is £25 and an appetite.
What's £25 in Australian?
It's about $50.
$50. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Is that all you can eat cheese?
I don't know. I think you'd get to sample.
Wow.
But it'd be like one of those shopping tours that the women all get on the bus and, you know, they're gaggling and getting on the bus each morning and they've got their very sensible shoes on because it's going to be a long day of shopping.
$50, how much cheese could you really have? Like, cheese is one of those things when you've had a fair bit of cheese, you pretty much get full pretty quick.
I don't know who you are. Cheese, you're kidding me, right?
Okay.
Eat cheese all day.
Well, look on your face, you've gone very serious.
don't mess around with cheese.
I'm not messing around with you now. If you're in a bad mood, the whole studio's in a bad mood.
In a bad mood. I'm just salivating over cheese. It takes place every Saturday at 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock. The London Cheese Crawl is a two-hour socially distanced dairy extravaganza. Love that word. Just makes it sound so much more fun. Kicking off near Green Park, right in the heart of town, as the official description of the event explains. You ready for this? Starting in Mayfair, this walking tour will take you through various cheese types, from the finest blue cheese. I hate blue cheese.
Does it say that it's in the vicinity of Mayfair?
What do you mean?
Well, anytime it says vicinity.
Starting. Oh, no, it didn't say vicinity. Oh, so it's not I can that change serious. It if you like, but I'm quoting them. Okay. They don't say starting in the vicinity of Mayfair.
Good,
they
just said starting. It's a bit more lighthearted then.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So you can eat blue cheese all you like, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of different cheeses that you can have. You can just try them all. Mm-hmm. You can also get involved in the cheese quiz if you don't mind.
I like that idea.
Do you?
Yep. I'd be no good at it. You'd be okay at it.
No, I wouldn't be good at it at all, actually. With bonus points going to the cheesiest joker of the day. So now here's my thought process around that. So the flyer that you get would say there'll be a cheese quiz. So you'd be sitting there, like, Googling all the cheeses to try and remember stuff. And then you'd be distracted by that because they'd say that there'd be a bonus points going to the cheesiest joker of the day. So you'd be sitting there Googling every cheese joke known to man.
I'd have to sit there thinking, I'd better be quick or I'm going to get beaten. It just rolled off
did
the top of my head.
Did you really
that's
just
genius
think of
right
that?
There. Just
you
popped
did
in.
Too.
Popped in. Oh, I'm a winner already.
Visit Churchill's favourite cheesemonger, the oldest in London, and try some fresh-made truffle brie. Oh, yum. Paired with a lovely bit of bubbly. Now you got me.
I'm just going to go where you're going.
Oh, really?
I'll have a pint.
Oh, yum. All right. Yeah, you probably could, I'd say.
Maybe
cheese
just,
and beer doesn't work, though, does
well,
it?
Well, I wouldn't just – well, I'd have to cut something out. It'd have to be the cheese. I'm just following you along. Want to be some good beer for $50.
It's the experience you're paying for.
Okay.
The new tour will be a welcome relief to members of the British cheese establishment, many of whom have built their been hit hard by the pandemic. Okay. So this is good. It's giving local businesses their opportunity to shine again and get some customers back in the door. Because no doubt when you go in there, you try a cheese, you'll think this is amazing and you just buy it.
You would too.
I would.
Like if you go to a winery and you find a wine and think, I've never had that, but that was sensational, you're going to buy a bottle, aren't
absolutely.
You? Or probably more.
Yeah. I did that once. I was at a restaurant where they were giving us the house wine and then they came around very, very smart because they get you drunk on their house wine and then they sell it to you but you can only buy 12 bottles and you're drunk and you're drinking it by this point.
That's clever.
And you buy it
great
like
marketing.
I did and then I got it home and I hated it.
Is that the one that I went to?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember that.
It was awful
wine.
Did you
give it away?
Yeah, I gave it to my friend.
Yeah. Your friend.
Well, no, she liked it. That's why I gave it to her.
Sure.
She bought some as well. We were there with her. Oh, anyway, no doubt many of the most famous names in the industry will be hoping that the London Cheese Crawl can get back on their feet. So this is one of the ways that they're going to make that happen. If we were there, I want to do it. How do we make that happen? I want to go on a cheese crawl.
Well, maybe we can just make it happen locally.
Can you do that? I'll just come along.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, okay.
Now, 2020 has certainly been challenging for those on the dating scene. They don't get to go to London and go on a cheese crawl.
No.
They don't get to meet anybody. Speed dating's out of the question. Thing of the past. It's going to be a long time before we're able to be safe and being able to speed date or even just meet up for a drink somewhere. How do you meet the man of your dreams if you're a lady out there?
Well, I think you do it online now, don't you?
Well, ladies, think again. It seems the 1950s was an even weirder time. kind of be looking for that person.
1950s.
Back in 1958, women's magazine McCall's published a list of the 129, that's right, 129 surefire tips and tricks ladies could try to snare a husband.
Okay.
And let's just say some of them are, by today's standards at least, a little unusual.
Why are you grinning?
And like I know that you know this list already because we covered it off on the show on Friday, but I'm going to roll through it again. And I know you're a little cringy on some of them. But this is from 1958 and things were a little different then. And things were a little better back then. From carrying a hat box around with you to sobbing quietly in a corner, this 1958 129 tip strong list is filled with bizarre and quirky ways to attract the attention of a potential suitor.
Yep.
All right, so this is broken down. Now, I'm not going to do the 129, but I've got picked sort of five or six big hitters in four of the categories, okay? So we're going to start with where to find him.
Okay.
If you're a lady out there and you're struggling with this pandemic and you're not really sure how you're going to find the next Mr. Perfect, I'm already taken, but the other Mr. Perfect, I'm going to tell you where you need to be according to 1958.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Get a job demonstrating fishing tackle in a sports store. Because I'm going to tell you right now, fishing is a very strong theme through this.
Okay, this
back,
is...
Back in 1950s, just guys just went fishing.
What did that... Well, I suppose there was nothing else to do.
Have your car break down at strategic places.
Wow.
Read the obituaries to find eligible widowers.
Now, this actually sparked my attention.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Very lonely men out there want a little bit of comfort.
You want to know where they live, in what vicinity. Yeah, so.
It then becomes very serious then. Sit on a park bench and feed the pigeons. Very popular back in the 50s. Be friendly to ugly men. Handsome is as handsome does.
I just
forget the ugly ones.
No. The ugly ones might be rich because they might be real nerdy.
Correctamundo, as Fonzie would say. Don't be afraid to associate with more attractive girls. They may have some leftovers. Leftovers. Like, how many of the attractive girls, how many leftover dudes have they got? Like, how many people are you dating? Are they the Bachelorette, which is another podcast in itself?
Trying to find out what a popular name in the 1950s would have been. Maybe Judy.
Or Marjorie.
Yes, Marjorie or Judy. Can I have your slops, please? Because Bevan over there, or Ian, or I don't know names from the 1950s.
Arthur. Now, but if you're a attractive girl, because I remember reading from this, and you've got like half a dozen dudes, and you picked your one, number two might not be too bad.
What do you mean?
Well, her number two that didn't get picked.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
You might be able to score her number two, which might be your potential number one.
But if he's number two, he's going to be looking at her as the benchmark. And if you're really ugly, then he's not going to come near you.
It doesn't say that.
Yeah.
So we've got to assume that everybody's beautiful in someone's eyes.
Right.
You're so judgmental.
Me?
Now, I'm going to tell you how to let him know you're there, okay? So you positioned yourself in spots where he's going to be, but you need to get his attention. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Stumble when you walk into a room he's in. Got to do the little stumble.
You look like a dickhead.
Are you okay, dear? That's what happened now you'd say that. 1958, you wouldn't.
Imagine you did that now. You stumbled into a room like you tripped over nothing, fresh air. Actually, I'm quite good at that.
You don't trip over, you just stumble.
Stumble across nothing. You turn around and go, oh, jeez, look at that dickhead.
Yeah, she's been on the bubbly. She's probably been on a cheese tour. Carry around a hat box.
What for?
Very important.
What for?
Well, because your suitor would be wearing his hat.
Mm-hmm.
Needs somewhere to put it. You've got a hat box with you. You are the one.
Tell him where to put it.
Wow. Learn several funny stories, but learn how to tell them well. Make sure you don't tell him the same story more than once. Okay? Oh. You're tearing up a little bit over there.
Yeah, I've got something in my eye. It's called, like, feralness.
Oh, boy. Dropping the handkerchief still works. 1958, remember?
Who's dropped got a handkerchief?
Back in 1958, everybody carried handkerchiefs.
They probably bloody ironed it too.
Most likely. That's what you did, didn't you? Like you ironed your underwear as well. Stand in a corner and cry softly. Chances are he'll come over to ask what's wrong.
What for?
Just cry.
Oh, okay. And so when he comes over, you can say you've lost your fishing tackle.
Yeah. Well, you start talking about his tackle. There you are, in for sure. Accidentally have your purse fly open, scattering its contents across the street. Someone will run over.
It.
And help.
Someone will run over it. That's
probably,
right.
Yeah, but there were not too many cars on the road back in 1958. There were cars, not as many as now. But there you know. So you've now got his attention. You know where he is. You've got his attention by sobbing in the corner.
Currently my blood pressure's going through the roof.
But you need to look good for him. Here's some tips on how you're going to look good for him. So you got his attention. You found him. You got his attention. Wear high heels most of the time. They're sexy. Or sexy-er, but they're sexy. Wear high heels. That hasn't changed.
Wow.
Tell him he's handsome.
No.
Well, you're out now. You got no other fine in
you
your suit. Shove
it, Philip. I'm not interested.
If you look good in sweaters, wear one on every third date. Now, don't wear one on every second date because that is a big mistake.
Why?
I'm reading it from McCall's. This is published in 1958.
Wear a sweater on every third date.
On every third date. But only if you look good in one.
Oh, right.
Maybe
right.
If you're a little busty. And the sweaters would look really great. Mm. Hang on, it's just going to take a moment. Mm. Let's go back to Hooters then. Go on a diet if you need to. But only if you need to. Go on a diet.
What if you don't think you need to,
but
you
should?
Then you
don't go on one. Then you don't do it.
Don't wear the sweaters if you need to
sweaters.
Go on a diet.
Do not do that. When you're with him, order your steak rare. Don't know why.
Why?
Don't know why you have to order it rare. Maybe he's going to help cook it for you. I don't really know.
That's weird.
Use the ashtray. Don't crush out cigarettes in a coffee cup. Very important. If you want to look good for him, don't use your coffee cup.
One of those long smoking things, what are they called? That you'd put the cigarette in the end and then you'd put the big plastic bit in your mouth or something.
I don't know. It's a little bit more sexier
it's
for
more
the girls, is it?
60s maybe. I don't know. No idea.
So you've looked good for him, right? Mm. You've found him.
Yeah.
You let him know you're there, yep. And now you're looking really good. Mm. So how do you land him? That's a good question, isn't it?
It's a great question. I don't know. What do you mean? How do I land?
You're supposed to ask me.
Oh, sorry.
Been doing this podcast a while now, but.
Oh, so Daz, now I know how to find this man and what to do to get his attention.
Yep.
How on earth would I land him?
That's a great question. Let me tell you how.
Yeah, all right.
Ask your parents to disappear when you're entertaining. I don't think they got up to any shenanigans, did they, back in 1958?
I think so.
Might be a little handsy, but.
Didn't people disappear for like 9 months and go and live with an auntie in the country and then come back and the baby had been adopted?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I wasn't born, just saying. I've got no clue, but I do. Then, yeah. I have heard stories.
Send his mum a birthday card.
Yes.
That's a big hit.
Okay,
that one.
This is still relevant. That's
because
relevant.
Because mum's still very important to a young lad.
Now it'd be send her a message at least, yeah.
If he's a fisherman, learn to scale and clean the fish.
No.
You should also know how to cook them.
No.
I just added that in there. But, you know, be a good housewife. Find out about the girl he hasn't married. Don't repeat her mistakes.
Girls,
find out what they did wrong. Because he didn't choose them.
Mm.
Got to make sure you're hitting all the big numbers there. If he's rich, tell him you like his money.
Yep.
The honesty will intrigue him. I tell you, if someone came and said that, I like your money, that I would be intrigued as well.
Yeah, would you?
I might not be impressed, but I'd be kind of intrigued.
Wow.
And finally, point out that the death rate of single men is twice that of married men.
That is it. That's the desperation call right
Did you
there?
Know, Clyde, that the death rate of single men is twice that of married men? Get on your knee now and propose.
So pass me
or I'll cry in the corner.
Your scale for your fish or something. I've got no idea.
I'll take care of your tackle. Right now. In the drugstore.
Do you know what? That just sounds so hard.
Mm.
And do you honestly think back in the day they would have been successful doing any of those things?
I think you should go and stand softly and quietly in the corner and sob.
But I'd be ugly crying and there'd be snot everywhere.
You're a bit snotty this morning, aren't you? There you go. It's all about helping. This is from 1958. 2020 is certainly throwing out some dating challenges. And there you have the list. Now, you can find that on our Facebook page, Cindy and Daz. We've got the list on there if you want to find all the 129 ways. But it would be very tough if you're dating at the moment.
Mm.
And if that can help you, well, then remember – how many times do you wear that sweater? Just
every third date.
Only on every third date.
As you're walking around your lounge room in lockdown with a hat box. No, this is really handy. Well done, it's you.
Very important stuff. We hope we've enlightened you with some more weird and wacky this week. It's been fun.
It's always fun.
We might come back next week and do it all over again.
Yeah, we'll say not with any tackle, that's for sure.
You can check out the podcast via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And, of course, the podcast is brought to you by
Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
We love them and we love you guys as well. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. For more episodes, head to extrabutter.com.au.